texts and emails coming through. So many of you remarking on the increase in salaries for the MLAs. Let me speak to the panel chairman, the man who led the independent team, Pat McCartan. They decided on the salaries. Mr. McCartan, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
I suppose it's the worst morning of all to be looking back on the decision that was announced yesterday, because I know it's not your fault, but you can understand how people are reacting this morning when we hear the terrible news that a man died unnoticed on a trolley waiting to be taken to a hospital ward in the Royal. And we also hear that our politicians are getting an 11% pay increase. You'll probably understand that the public find it hard to accept.
I do understand the public reaction, entirely predictable, as we expected. Nonetheless, we had been given a task, and we've done that, and done it very fairly in the interests of the public in Northern Ireland, and done it in comparison with pay rates which are already paid in Northern Ireland, and we want to keep MLA's rates at the same level as they could expect in private sector industry in Northern Ireland. So that we continue to attract good quality candidates for elections.
Yes, but
exactly
when you say
what we're about here, and I think that if people just read the report and look at it as a whole, they'll understand fully why we've done that. Now, if you look at ifrp.org.uk, you'll find it all in there.
Of course, Pat, and you know, at the end of the day, you have the professional perspective on it, and it'll be very difficult to argue with why you have come to the conclusion. But the people who vote these politicians in might take one career as an example. Let's take teaching, for example, that I know a little bit about. Why would an MLA deserve so much more than a hard-working school teacher?
The rates of pay that we looked at for comparison were teaching, and we looked at the sort of vice principalship level in small schools, and that's exactly where we're at. And you'll find that we're right on the message for a senior teacher with four or five responsibility points. We're more or less at that level as well. Now, an MLA's job is a responsible one, and of course they do so many hours. They are 50 to 60 hours a week. That's the nature of it, and it is on social hours. And those are some of the issues we took into account when we were comparing with the health service, for example. And if you take a ward manager in one of the major hospitals, we're again more or less on right on the message. And bear in mind, we want to attract professionals and others to apply for or to go for MLA election in future. That's exactly where we're at.
But just to give the example again of teaching, when you compare an MLA's salary to a teacher's salary, why compare an ordinary Joe MLA to a vice principal? Why not compare them to a teacher who's worked hard in a classroom maybe for 25 years, who is still a teacher in a classroom, who is providing a daily service like those MLAs are providing a daily service, who's much more likely to be on £31,000 a year?
Quite happy to make those justifications when you look at the work that an MLA is required to do, and when you look at the work they are required to do in order to get there, and when you look at the way in which their job only lasts for 3-4 years, and then they're up for election again, as distinct from a teacher who has a career job. It's quite different in that respect, but that's where we've had to strike the balance. And we've done that by looking not only at teaching, we've looked at health, we've looked at civil service, we've looked at the private sector earnings in Northern Ireland, and we've undershot those. We know where exactly this rate is, but I just have to put to you, Frank, this has been deferred for 2 years. It was justified last year, but it's not being paid until 2013. There is currently a freeze on public sector pay, and we're entirely in line with that. And at 11% of an increase, by the way, covering a period of 14 years before between increases, we're well within. It's very much lower than inflation. It's about one third of the inflation rate. It's about one third of average earnings increases in Northern Ireland. And those are some of the justifications. But what you haven't talked about yet is that we're deducting £10,000 a year from some MLAs because of the double jobbing. What you haven't said is that MLAs who are also MPs will lose some of their office cost expenses. What you haven't said is that MLAs in general are being asked to sacrifice 3% from their £75,800 for their office cost expenses, and that's going to save the public purse £3.16 million in the next 3 years. Those are the issues that are really in this report, and MLAs are going to find it particularly tough to be able to manage their job on that basis.
But Pat, you'll understand that people listening to the programme will be saying, yeah, fair play to the independent panel for doing this, but you're just taking away the cream that they already had with an incredibly generous package up to this point. Let me compare it to another industry. You're saying about they've only got work for 5 years and then they're at risk of losing their work.
Yeah.
Most of us who are going into the workplace in this day and age, excuse me, only have a guarantee of a year's work. Sometimes it's only 6 months. Let me give you another example of a profession that I know the rates are for: journalism. A journalist coming in today might get 19 or 20,000, might be here for 6 months. Why should an MLA get 48,000?
The jobs are, of course, quite different, and we weren't paying journalists. We were paying MLAs and judging the work that they have to do.
But why is an MLA's job 2.5 times more important than a journalist's job?
Well, why is it paid very significantly less than an MP's job? It's more than a third less than an MP. It's still very far behind the Welsh job and the Scottish job. In terms of civil service, it equates with one of the midpoints of a mid-career civil servant. We're not talking here about huge amounts in comparison with others. And I have no justification whatsoever for the disgraceful rate you quote for journalists.
The reality is, right across the board, people will be quoting what they know, what someone in their family earns. They'll be saying, right, my sister works in the bank, or my sister works in a dental surgery, or my dad is out on the building site. All contributing to society, all contributing to the economy, not getting anywhere near what the MLAs get. And you give them an 11%, not you personally, but your group, recommends them for an 11% pay increase whenever the rest of us are on a pay freeze or 1% or 2% of an increase.
Well, that's quite wrong, because people in the Northern Ireland economy do realise that their jobs are dependent on what MLAs do and what their decisions are. And it's extremely important that they not only represent their constituents well, but also that they're able to legislate well and that they're able to scrutinise government policies, including the Assembly Executive's policies. Now, if you look at the Assembly Executive's policies, you'll see that they're applying freezes and restrictions on public expenditure, which are having some effect. We've done the same with the office cost expenses for MLAs. They just have to do the same as they're voting for others to have to do. So that's quite balanced and reasonable, and it's saving the public purse. Now, I think that's a fair way of looking at it. But to be able to look at the level of pay from 43,000 to 48,000 for once in 14 years to adjust their pay, we think that's perfectly reasonable and justified based on the comparisons and on the job evaluations that we have done.
Pat, thanks very much for your time this morning. Thank you.
Thanks, Frank.
Pat McCartan, the panel chair.